Welcome back to the Chin Chin podcast. My name is Emily.
My name's Megan.
And
oh, wait,
Sheetal.
I go last. Do I go last?
Doesn't matter.
Sorry, I just freaked out because I thought Sheetal was going to go, then I went.
So, ladies, how has your week been?
So I'd say that today, when we are filming this, is St. David's Day. So happy.
Oh, and it's my mum and my stepdad's 1 year anniversary.
Oh, yeah. So happy St. David's Day, everybody. My flatmate Leo, who you will meet later in this episode, and I were going to make leek and potato soup today as like a St. David's Day thing, and then I went to Aldi this morning and they had no leeks, so we didn't, and we felt really bad because we were like hyping ourselves up to make soup. And
that's quite disappointing.
I know,
Aldi.
Yeah, I know, they didn't have any leeks. Aldi, pull yourself together. Oh yeah, the exam that I mentioned in last week's episode, I talked about the exam that I had to do, and I did that, and it was fine. So apart from that, I kind of don't have much to do at the moment. But yeah. Eisenberg, how's your week been?
I'm back at university. It's my mum and my stepdad's 1 year anniversary, like I said. So that's absolutely insane to me.
Yeah.
Time flown so quickly, and they've literally spent their whole married life in lockdown.
That's rough.
Do you know what? I feel like it's a grow through what you go through kind of thing. I don't think many couples could hack the first year of marriage in lockdown together, but they've done it. So shout out to Rosie and Gareth.
Woo!
Not that they're going to listen to this. We had a little heatwave moment, which was lovely. It did make me realise how much my mood depends on the weather, because I was so happy. I've also booked two different music festivals over the past 2 days. So I'm just hoping, if you're listening to this, stay inside so I can go to festivals this summer, because I'm very excited about them. Yeah, summer's on my mind at the moment. I've been ordering festival clothes, festival jewellery, booking festivals, like getting excited when it's vaguely sunny. That's literally it. Like, I've simply dismissed winter. Like, it's March and I'm like, okay, now it's summer. But Sheetal, how was your week?
Well, it was my parents' 25th wedding anniversary a few days ago, and they set up this like big Zoom call between all their family and friends. I think it was nice because I got to get dressed in like all my Indian clothing, which I haven't done. I ordered pizza to their friends' houses. My mum got a bit emotional because obviously if it wasn't for COVID, we were going to have family over from India. And it's been like 5 or 6 years since we've seen family. So she was like, when they asked my like uncles and aunts to speak, it was like, my mum was getting a little bit teary eyed. But my favorite thing is that my grandfather, so my Nana Ji, said about my dad when, cause they had an arranged marriage, said about my dad. So my mum was like, he's better than my daughter. Is like, that's how he introduced my dad to everyone. This is my son-in-law, he is better than my daughter. And he was like, which makes me really giggle. But yeah, I've been kind of chilling. I finished my fourth module of my first year. I've got two left that start tomorrow. And I'm going back to university on Sunday because I have practicals that I have to attend. But yeah, I'm vibing. I'm excited to see the seaside. I'm excited to like go smell the fresh air by the sea, which is really nice. I would like to note for everyone on the podcast, Megan and Emily's face look like they want to shoot me for the fact that I'm by the sea. But yeah.
Going to university by the sea is not a personality trait.
It is.
Oh.
Eisenberg, do you go to see so many seaside bars?
No, but you know what? Living in a city, because obviously all of us have lived, again, not saying too much about us, but we lived close-ish to London, which is obviously a major city.
Big city.
But we weren't like obviously directly in the city. We were further out in like towns and stuff like that. Again,
the suburbs.
Not too much information. But like when I was younger, I lived in London, but I obviously didn't go out that much because I was a child and I wasn't allowed out by myself. So I didn't really. And also it wasn't a particularly lovely area. So now being at uni and literally being like a 15-minute walk and I'm in the city centre, there's the cathedral, there's the bridge, like it's all really nice. It's really lovely. Like we went on a walk like a couple of days ago for sunset. So we drove into the city centre and then we walked up this hill and we sat there and watched the sunset, and it was so nice and it was so pretty.
That's cute.
Yeah, and so like it's nice living in a completely different area for the first time and being able to like experience it by yourself and going into a city or whatever.
It's made me want to travel and like live in different countries a lot more, because I've really enjoyed like the change of scenery.
Yeah, but
I do love where we live. It is a vibe, as many people call it, and I love London, so it's always nice to be close to London.
I had a question. I know this is really stupid, please don't make fun of me, but when you say like go into the city, like which city are you referring to?
Worcester.
Is Worcester? I thought Worcester was a county.
Worcestershire is a county, of which Worcester is the city. And it is a city, even though it's very small, it is a city because it has a cathedral and a university. So
I thought it was a county. I'm really sorry.
No, the county is, Worcestershire, but the city is Worcester itself.
Have you heard Americans try and pronounce Worcester sauce?
Worcestershire.
Worcestershire.
Worcester.
Worcester.
Not gonna lie, is that when I spell it, there are moments where I have to, like...
There's genuine people at Warwick who think Warwick is, like, W-A-R-I-C-K.
Warwick.
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 I'm keeping all of this in, by the way.
I think it's entertaining. I think. Yeah. And also, let's talk more about what's been going on in our lives.
This just came into my head and it's going quite deep, actually, but we're going to go there anyway. I think this whole like lockdown experience, I think once it is finally over, whenever that is, you know, if that is on the 21st of June or if it is in December, whenever, I think there's going to be so much like more of an appreciation for just like doing things, like even the small things, like just being able to go to a pub and sit down with your family and friends who live in different areas in the UK. Just being able to do that is going to feel like a major thing because we haven't been able to travel as much and see family and things like that. And I just think it's going to give, like Iceberg mentioning you've booked festivals, like I love, like, you know, listen to those different types of music, love live music, but I've never been the biggest kind of want to go to a festival. But the fact that it's not even an option, like it wasn't an option last year, it makes you more excited for when it can happen. And I think there's going to be just a greater appreciation. Like, imagine standing with like hundreds of other people listening to live music and it's sunny and it's nice, and like the appreciation just for that, not necessarily just like being in a festival, but literally just being with people and it being like nice weather and just enjoying yourself.
You know what, I'm like, one of the things I'm most excited for, when like we either do a picnic or we all go around to one person's house, we sit in the garden, we order a lot of food, we make cocktails, and we just sit there for like 5 hours straight, just catching up on like life. Yeah. But just knowing that we can do that, because I think that this is like the thing that got to me the most, is like I love meeting, like we're going for socially distanced walks, but one of the things that I think especially our friendship group revolves around is Wagamama's, and going for like a cheeky Wagamama's in the like the spontaneity of our plans, because a lot of our times we plan, Sheetal, you free? Let's go to Wagamama's tonight. Emily, you free? We're all going to Wagamama's tonight. And it's just like, I miss the spontaneity of life.
Yeah, just like being given the option back where, you know, you can just do something. And even like the tiniest things, you can just do them because they're an option again. And I think, yeah, there's just going to be so many people where like we're just going to be way more grateful for things that we do, even the tiniest little things.
I also tried a drink on Friday. Brilliant. Diet Coke and kiwi liqueur, banging.
You say that like kiwi liqueur is something people just have in their cupboard.
Yeah, I've never tried. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I've had kiwi liqueur in my cupboard, but that is courtesy to certain members of my family who like buying drinks from different countries. Yeah, kiwi liqueur, banging. Love it.
Out of the residents of New Zealand.
Yeah. I'd live in New Zealand because they don't have any COVID and we do.
We go back into another lockdown.
I said this last week. They've gone back into like restrictions.
Yeah, but then it was only because of like one person who had COVID. We're at like thousands. If we go into another lockdown, moving to
we're at 1,000.
So this week on the Learn Something New, I have roped in my two of my flatmates who are going to explain a project that they've been coming up with, doing, producing, making from the beginning of this year. But I will pass over to them to introduce themselves and explain what they've been doing.
Okay, hi, I'm Jimmy.
I'm Leo.
And we're in the like last couple of weeks, like maybe a month, I would say, made a short film that's on YouTube, which is the quest to find a sexually active young adult in a university hall.
And we will link the movie in the description and the behind the scenes, the YouTube like link.
Yes.
In the
description. And it is quite an experience. It's got a lot of profanity. A lot of it was improv, and that's mainly the
why there's so much profanity.
Yes, because I whenever I just panic, I just literally come out with swear words. But everyone here has seen the movie, isn't that right?
So yes.
That's exciting. What do you guys think of it? Were you shocked with the big twist at the end?
No, I thought it was really good. I didn't expect it, no offense, but I didn't expect it to be as good as I thought it was. Like, everything was like well planned. And when you said it was all improv, that kind of reminds me of The Inbetweeners, where they improvised a lot of it and then like Outnumbered, where it was so much more like humanized because it was improv and we actually got to see you guys as people, not as just like the script behind a script or something.
Yeah.
I have two questions. My first question is, if you had to like summarize it for people who haven't seen it, like a little 30-second like voice trailer, what would you say?
Oh god, I feel like the title is 30 seconds, so it's like right there. Oh my goodness, I don't know. It's just a disaster. I don't know, it's a disaster. It's just very messy, like it doesn't really make much sense. Like I find car keys in the microwave, you know what I mean? It's just like I feel like I would describe it as a messy, chaotic journey to find a missing flatmate with a twist or something. I don't know. It's not really 30 seconds, but you know what I mean? And then I would say the title and that would equal 30 seconds.
It's very university. It fits into like being at uni and
yeah.
Yeah, we get to show off our accommodation. I hear the user jealous for accommodation.
Yeah.
Your accommodation is really nice. My other question was, is it intentional that it like is quite inspired by Knives Out, if you've seen that? Because it gave me like big Knives Out vibes.
It wasn't. That's a good comparison. I'm happy to take a comparison. It's an Oscar-nominated movie, so hopefully we get Oscar-nominated. But that's a really good comparison. I do like that. They're, like all the different characters and the way they sit down in the interview. That's actually really good. No, this actually came from like way back whenever I was in school before like all COVID happened. I had me and my friend thought of this idea to make this just ridiculous thing. One of our like this ridiculous story of these one of our friends go missing, and then there's this whole hunt around the school, just disastrous, getting like all these teachers go up into this film and say it's for like I say film weird by the way, film. It's not film.
A film.
Yeah, but. Got all these like teachers really they were all up for it, and then obviously COVID happened and didn't happen. But I did make a movie back in a school which was like about like climate change and stuff, so that was like only a couple of it was 30 second film, and it just came from there. We were just like sitting one day in like a classroom, like a cover teacher, you know, you have a cover teacher, just nothing to do, and we decided to go with that, and that's where it came from. But thank you for the nice our comparison, that's very kind.
And some background, your uni degrees for like context for
where this came there about. You go.
All right, I'm doing drama, drama and performance. So I was doing the actinginess, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, and it was like delegating the roles was a bit of a challenge in the fact that like it was originally someone was cast as the slut, and then they pulled out because it was the hypochondriac, you know, the person that put the hypochondriac was supposed to be the slut originally, and then she was like, I don't like the thought of like me making sex noises and stuff, so it was just like that. And then I was thinking, because obviously Leo is doing a drama, so I was just thinking, like, what, and I just feel like the art, it works, because I just, I feel like everyone else would be too awkward trying to, because they're obviously not doing acting or anything, trying to, like, every, all them scenes of trying to actually tell me something, just, like,
The one person who's doing drama having, like, the least lines.
Yeah, that's true.
And then the big explosion pays off, though, true. At the end, with the, yeah.
Also, like, so obviously you use quite, like, promiscuous language, not only in the script, but in, like, labeling her as the slut and everything. Was that, like, meant to be shocking?
Yeah, that's actually something I have actually considered. I've actually talked about that. I didn't like that I named, the slut, I don't like that word. We actually talked about earlier. I feel like the whole thing with the, this is definitely going to have to be profound, like, an explicit thing. Just the fact that she's being called a slut, I feel like I added in the bit that the security guards, that was really like short second where it comes up and says he's also a slut. The security guard sits down and says the security guard also a slut. I kind of wanted to be, it's not fair to just call the girl a slut whenever he's obviously having sex with her. It really annoys me that the word slut is even, like, I feel it should be, like, changed to mean, it, who cares if, you know, it's not like a, shouldn't be an offensive word, basically. But in terms of the language and stuff, I think it's meant to be shocking. I feel it just gets more I don't know, like, the show's like the thick of it, and Vape, if any of you've seen any of them, there's a lot of, like, explicit language using that, and I feel like that's where I take my inspiration from for this, like, disaster thing. There's, like, a lot of swearing, and it just shows, like, how little vocabulary these characters have. It reminds me
of, like, when the main character was called the slut. It reminds me of the slut walks that happen all over the world, where women are trying to empower the word, and it gave me that vibe-esque, because she wasn't ashamed, like, she was ashamed of it, but she was trying to break out of the patriarchy in that sense.
Do you want to make films, like, is that what you want to do as a job?
It's not really, like, I don't really think I did really enjoy the whole director, but it was very stressful being, like, in the credits you can see my name appearing, like, I did that on purpose, like, be like to boost my ego, but to, like, have all my name appear so many times, and I did get very stressed at times being in it, trying to direct people, and, like, obviously having done the editing on top, but I don't really think I would be down for directing things. I really would like to, I like creating the world that the characters are in, not really, like, writing. I'm doing, like, screenwriting and creative writing, and then next year I've chose to major in screenwriting, so it's definitely writing movies is definitely what I would like to do.
And I liked
it's so creative
thing, to be honest. I really enjoyed doing that, and, like, I would 100% be down to, like, do any more of those in the future and stuff, because it's just so much fun. And as well, I had to do a lot less of the work than you did, because I basically just followed you around and then didn't even say anything, like, most of the time, so
no, but you were helpful, and you did calm me down at times when I was getting worked up when I needed to, like, them toilet scenes. That was literally me getting, like, it was anger out at just the situation. Obviously my character was getting angry out, but it's kind of me getting angry at all the other cast.
She just channeled it into the character.
Yeah, it seriously was. This is a joke.
Well, all I saw about it, I was at home when it was all filmed. I'm not in it, thankfully, because I don't know in it. But all I saw on the group chat was all of the behind the scenes thing, and I had no context. I didn't know the script. I didn't know what was happening. Literally, I had no idea what was going on. And then just an apology from Jamie saying, like, sorry for, like, yelling at people, like, getting a bit angry. And I was like, what happened when this was filmed? Like, I don't know anything that went on, but I'm scared. But obviously, I watched it and it was very good. So.
I'm just thinking, whenever you actually came back from Wales, you came back and you looked at the pin board in the kitchen, there was the missing poster was stuck to the board, and she had no.
The missing poster that's in the, like, movie. Yeah, it was just on our, like, notice board thing, and I was like, what? Like, why is what is that? I didn't have any context.
We didn't
get and to I it. Wasn't I wasn't allowed to know anything, and they were like, it will make sense later, and I was like, oh, brilliant, thanks.
Also, yeah. Like, how are you guys finding uni, like, in COVID? It's always so interesting to talk to students at different unis, because everywhere has different regulations and stuff. Like, how is it for you?
It's pretty okay,
to be honest. Like, everyone's pretty, like, chill about it and stuff, to be honest. Like, we're surviving in regards to...
You guys have had, like, no cases, though, I swear.
Yeah. We were up at the beginning, there were literally no cases here.
It's very helpful, but it's not, like, a massive, like, uni, like, Birmingham or something.
Warwick, that literally has, like, double the amount and four times the amount of COVID cases, but anyway.
Definitely more than four times.
Yeah, so many COVID cases.
But we is there like anything else in the books then, or can we look forward to another movie coming out in the next few months?
Yeah, there is definitely something that we've actually just, because that went so well. Like, it did take, I definitely 10 plus hours editing it. Like, not like a flex, but I'm just actually, like, it was really, it did take a lot of time, and I'm very perfectionist in terms of like a lot of things, and I need to get it just right. And then the title, you know, like the title sequence for the drawing of the slot and like all the pizza box, and that was all done by Leah, which was really good.
Drawn by me.
So it just, I have the means, the capability to do more projects. So I really think, you know, like everyone's like buzzing and everyone had such a good time on it, even though I was shouting at them the whole time. They all were like, had a good time, and like everyone's up for doing more. So I have another one in like my head. I like the idea. It was going to be shorter and more a serious one this time, not really not as comedic, but definitely something I hope. So it's just build up the portfolio, you know.
Oh, I do have actually another question. What's it like doing a creative degree right now in COVID? Because for me, I have to go in for practicals. It must be hard doing something like drama, where you're so interactive with people, but you're just there like, oh, let's stand 2 meters away and act.
Yeah, like before Christmas, it wasn't as bad because all of my stuff was still in person. Like, it was really awkward because we had to like wear masks and everything and still be distanced and stuff like that. But since after Christmas, when like lockdown's been like properly, like everything's just been online, it has been a bit of a nightmare, I'm not gonna lie, because I've had like 9 a.m. of like physical theatre lectures where I've literally been doing like really stupid dances around my room and having to like close the curtains and stuff so no one will see me, and it's just really awkward. But there should be back like in person in like a few weeks, so it shouldn't be too bad again, hopefully. But it's just trying to change all of the exercises and stuff, because most of my stuff is like performance based anyway, so just trying to make that doable over Zoom is very interesting.
The screenwriting, creative writing I can manage, like, you know, it's not fair to me to complain about my degree when there's so many people out there that are like Leo there, like, just they need to be in person. I really like can survive without being in person, you know what I mean? It's better, obviously, but I can survive without being in person.
And I'm just never in person.
No.
I've just lived in this room.
One time, you go to the conference center.
It's freezing.
And it was freezing cold.
Yeah,
I'm actually reading for the first time. This is like a shocking fact for everyone. Well, especially these two countries. I don't know anything that happens.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm, for the first time, I've never seen any of the films, reading Harry Potter. No, mm-hmm. Don't know, have a notion what happens.
Like, no idea what happened. Mm-hmm. Movies or that at all.
I know that Voldemort appears at the end, and literally, that is
like,
it. I don't know.
Sure of like pronunciations of names or anything. Just
yeah, I didn't like. I was like trying to. I had to Google how to pronounce Hermione.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Because I just can't pronounce names, so I was like.
Honestly,
but like, where were you from like 2007 to like now?
I don't know. I don't actually know, because like I do not remember my cousins being like so passionate about it, and like I live right beside my cousins, so I'm surprised didn't say it. I just didn't. I don't know. It's so good. I get to discover this world now, though. Like, from start to finish, I'm on the second book and only started the other week, and I'm excited to, because the books just keep getting bigger and bigger, so I'm really excited.
I'm not knowing what happens in any of them. Like, you have no idea what happens in the end.
Because someone
have you even read them?
Yeah, like, excuse me, I've read all of them.
Literally, we've had this conversation. All of our friendship group have read all of Harry Potter.
That and the Hunger Games. Harry Potter's better than Hunger Games. And I tried to read the Maze Runner series, but it was not good.
Yeah, that's true, that's not good.
Eisenberg was obsessed with it.
Yeah. To be fair, I was 12.
There was like a year where everyone was obsessed with them, and I know.
I was 12. Cut me some slack.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone was obsessed with them at the time, so it was fair.
Yeah.
And then they made them dreadful movies.
And then there is a last one, I think, but it got released like a year afterwards because
Dylan O'Brien was in a car accident and they had to push it back. Don't ask how I know that.
What's the other one? Divergent. What was that? The series.
I read the first book.
They were awful.
They were great. 11 out of 10.
I like
awful. I read the series.
I read the first book and I actually really enjoyed it, and then I just never read the other two because I don't know why.
That's so strange. That you just read 3 pages every single.
I watched all of the books apart from the.
You've watched the books.
Watched the books. I watched the movies of all of them apart from the like
Just watch second it from across the room. Yeah. Never read it.
Yeah. Imagine having the energy to read.
I just never find the time to read, obviously. No.
I just don't.
That is so good, but once you get in the go of it, like, you know, like over lockdown, my teacher in the book club, we got in this, like, just flow, and we, like, read, like, two a week. It was unreal. It was, like, so good.
I think I could physically read two. I've literally been reading The Hobbit for like three, five years now. That's a massive book. So you're just not gonna read. That is huge. I go through phases. I either read like three books a week or I read nothing for a year. Yeah, but you can't guess which phase I'm in right now.
So that end bit went off on a bit of a tangent. We went a bit, you know, just having a nice chat. But that was the first time that Shetan and Isabel had met my flatmate. So, you know, just having a nice chat. But
shout out to them. They're lovely.
Okay. And now we are going to go on to final bit. We're going to talk about some current events this week, which we're going to try and not talk about COVID. Because I don't know how much else. Oh, actually, first bit, as usual, the Six Nations was back on this weekend. It was the match, in my opinion, England versus Wales, and Wales smashed it, and it was amazing, and it was so good.
But what do you think about the controversy about the referee for that? Because I watched the entire match as well as support. I had nothing to do. As support for Meghan and the Welsh. What do you think about the controversy?
There was the controversy. I think my first thing, I have two disclaimers. One, I don't understand enough of the rules about rugby to be completely certain on it, because, not gonna lie, I watch some bits and I'm like, I kind of know what happened, but I'm not entirely sure. But also, on a general thing, even if, so there was, for people who didn't watch it, there was controversy surrounding a particular try where the ref basically didn't penalise one of the Welsh players, so then they went on to score a try, and people were going, should he have been penalised, should he have not, did he actually make a mistake, that kind of thing. But my, like, first thing would be that even if that try hadn't been scored, Wales still would have won. Like, and that was in the first half, and, like, it was very equal, actually, and by the time, at the beginning of the second half, England came out and, like, evened out the score. So I think even if that try hadn't have happened, Wales still would have won in terms of points. There was that much of a points difference, and the real kind of bit where Wales scored a huge amount of points was at the end, where, like, England started making some quite
penalties,
just giving away penalties for quite small things. So I think, yeah, it was definitely, you could tell the commentators, who are supposed to obviously be quite biased, like, they have Welsh players there, they'll have English commentators, like, they're supposed to be very just, like, commentating, not necessarily forming an opinion. They kept making comments about it, about the fact that the ref was being, like, was overlooking things that Wales were doing, and were they going to overlook it if England then did the same thing, like, that kind of thing. But, yes.
You also have to kind of play to the ref, though, because if you know a ref is, like, really clean and really likes it, like, you have to get off immediately and stuff like that, you should be doing that. And I think, even though Meghan may not like this person, Owen Farrell handled it pretty well, where he was like, it's the ref's decision, whatever the ref does. It's like England, I think it was 24 all at the end of the first half, and then it was like 40-24 at the end. Like, England lost on penalties.
Yeah, exactly.
So controversies would have just, like, maybe just made the scores closer, but not actually had an effect. And moving on for the rugby, cricket, England's been taking a few losses all over the place. It was the India-England second test, India won, which is incredible. But it was interesting to see India won, and it was more of the fact that it was a really low-scoring test match. So it was finished in 2 days. England scored 112 and then 145. It was like India scored 145. It wasn't good at all, and I think both, like, Virat Kohli, who is the Indian captain, made the thing of, like, India didn't play well. The bowlers did amazing, but India didn't play well in the batting wise. And it's interesting to see how the other tests go and how the IPL goes. Eisenberg, do you have any news?
I do have news. They found a bomb at Exeter Uni.
Oh, I can't
forget to mention that. I actually didn't hear about it on the news originally. So we went to school with a few people who've gone to Exeter, and I was seeing it on like Priv stories on Snapchat and on like TikTok and stuff, which was insane because they were just suddenly moved out of their accommodation.
Yeah, and apparently like windows have been smashed like because of it. And
well, they had like a controlled explosion, so they like, yeah, they like, I don't know what the word is, like let it off.
Detonated.
Yeah, that.
Let it off like a balloon. Let go.
Let
like
it
a
off.
Firework. But yeah, that's terrifying.
Any world news, ladies?
The world news is I am in the world.
Ooh, I like that.
I have some world news. The Golden Globes were last night. When we're filming this, on.
Were they actually?
Yeah. Because my flatmate, all just met, loves keeping up with the Academy Awards, the Golden Globes, the Emmys, all that kind of thing. So he woke up at literally like 3 o'clock this morning to watch it. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were presenting, which they've done like a couple of times. And it was weird because they both obviously live in different areas. So they, even though they were both presenting, they weren't even in the same room. They were in different kind of like... auditoriums or something like I don't actually know what the where they were, but they had the only audience member that they had in were frontline workers and healthcare workers who all had masks on, so they actually got to see the kind of like live show. And then all of the celebrities were on Zoom, which was weird because literally like the first like award that got given out was the Zoom call like died, the volume on it died, so he's talking and you can see his mouth moving but you can't hear anything, and it's just horrendous. But it was really good. They had Chadwick Boseman, who unfortunately died last year, he won an award, which was really emotional because his wife like did the speech for him, in both the best two,
an Asian American woman.
The best director was Chloe Zhao. I don't know what her name is. Yeah.
Chloe Zhao.
Yeah, and she's the second female director to win in that category and the first Asian American to win. And so that was a really cool moment. And there was a lot of the Hollywood Foreign like Press Association has been in getting in trouble, rightly so, recently, because there's 77 members, 80 members or something, and they're all white, and so there was controversy surrounding the Netflix show Emily in Paris, which got a nomination, but I May Destroy You, which is an incredible BBC program, didn't get any nomination. So there was a lot of Amy Poehler and Tina Fey called them out in their monologue, and then a couple of the actual people who were receiving an award, they used that moment to kind of basically like say, we actually need change, we need things to turn around and actually start making like changes and stuff like that. So it was very different, obviously, because it's COVID, but it was exciting as well.
I have something really interesting to say on a point which I think we will previously talk about, or not previously, but we will mention in a newer episode, is that in the US, Asian Americans are considered as white. Which is, it's interesting. So like for universities and Asian American are not considered for higher end universities as prominently as like, their white counterparts as per se, but in a lot of like, I think in Washington, they're considered as white. So if you have any like BA, ME things like, I know, but anything for ethnic minorities in any sense, technically Asian Americans wouldn't be able to achieve that for that sense, which is a really interesting thing, how they're considered white.
Yeah, that is not. Yeah, that's very weird. No, that just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
I think Hasan Minhaj, who does the Patriot Act on Netflix, well, who used to do the Patriot Act on Netflix, really explained it well in like a college scandal thing that happened with all of it, which was very interesting. He does like shows for mainly like brown Asians growing up in America, but relate to everybody, and I find him quite funny.
Yeah.
But yes. And that's all for Chin Chin this week. We hope you guys really enjoyed it. It was so amazing to hear about Jamie and Leo's film, and I hope you go to their YouTube channel, give it a little watch and a little like from us. But see you all next, well, listen, I hope you listen to us all next week.